Good morning to everyone listening today. I hope that you are well. I do pray that this morning's service will uplift your spirits and remind you of your place with us all as part of God's family here in the Abbotsford Parish. You may remember in Psalms we are offered these reassurances. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. And in Romans, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. As we draw near to God, we're reminded also in Isaiah, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. The Bible tells us not to hide our sins from God, our Heavenly Father, but to confess them with a repentant and obedient heart, so that we may be forgiven through his boundless goodness and mercy. So let us approach the throne of our gracious God with a true heart in full assurance of faith and pray together. Merciful Father, we have strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the schemes and desires of our own hearts and have broken your holy laws. We have left undone what we ought to have done, and we have done what we ought not to have done. Yet, good Lord, have mercy on us. Restore those who are repentant, according to the promises declared to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant, merciful Father, for his sake, that from now on we may live godly and obedient lives to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God and loving Father, we rejoice that you pardon and forgive those who truly repent and sincerely believe your holy gospel. Grant us true repentance and your Holy Spirit that we may live godly, righteous and holy lives and finally come to your eternal glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
We come to the hearing of God's word in our Bible readings this morning, so will you pray with me? Thank you, Father, for making yourself known to us and showing us the way of salvation through faith in your Son. Teach us through your word and equip us for every good work for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Our first reading comes from Proverbs chapter 30, starting at verse 5 through to verse 9. Every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words, or he will rebuke you and prove you a liar. Two things I ask of you, Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonour the name of my God. The second reading comes from Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 24 through to verse 34. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labour or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendour was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be
to God.
Well, good morning, everyone, or whenever you're listening to this. My name is the Reverend Trevor Young. I'm the senior minister here at Abbotsford Anglican Church. Welcome. And with me today are Fiona, Diane and Rosemary, involved in the recording of this service for you. I trust your time in lockdown is not being too hard, and that these sermons on wisdom are being helpful for you. So let me pray. Gracious and loving Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you teach us through your word. We pray that you'll help me now to teach your word correctly, that we may experience your spirit guiding us into truth and applying it in our lives. For you are a great God, and to live life your way is wonderful. Amen. Well, this morning's little sermon is our wisdom for asking. And as Christians, like everyone, we make choices. Some choices are calculated and well thought out, taking days, months, even years to make, and others are made on the spur of the moment. Some turn out well, others don't, like those we heard in our stories last week. And some just turn out just as we need, even when we think they weren't going to. We all make choices, but not all choices are the same. As Christians, we choose to live life differently to the world. We choose to live life God's way as revealed by him in his word, the Bible. We choose to live this way of living, for we have found in it meaning and purpose. Meaningful and satisfying is the life that we choose to live. We've come to know the love and the mercy of God that's found in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Saviour. We've found the words of Jesus to be true that are written in John 10, verse 10. I've come that you may have life and have it in all its fullness. And so for this reason, we would live no other way. His word reminds us, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. Psalm 18, verse 30, and Proverbs 30, verse 5. Now others will choose to live life differently to us. And they may find our choices strange and sometimes foolish and even offensive. Others, however, have been greatly blessed by our life choices, sometimes realizing it and thankful and other times not. Be that as it may, it has always been this way, and no different for the writer of Proverbs, King Solomon, the son of King David. In his book of Proverbs, Solomon has listed thousands upon thousands of wise sayings, proverbs to help God's people gain wisdom, wisdom to apply to our thoughts, words, and actions, wisdom to help us with our choices as we live life out God's way in a world that sadly doesn't. Now, this is the second of two sermons on wisdom whilst in lockdown. Hopefully, they are an opportunity for us to hear some of those proverbs and to consider their wisdom and how they may shape our thoughts, our words, our actions. Maybe Maybe they may even inspire us to pick up that book in the Old Testament, the book of Proverbs, during lockdown and read through all the 31 chapters that are there with the extra time we may find that we have on our hands at home. Whatever, I pray at least we find reassurance that life, that the life we choose to live is wise. We have no need to be ashamed of the life that we choose to live. Last week from Proverbs 22, we heard that our choices have consequences for our reputation, our future, the present, our prosperity, our safety, and for our children. This week, we turn to thinking on the wisdom of asking, in particular, what we ask of God in prayer, what we choose to bring to Him, why we bring it to Him, and how we are to bring it to Him. Turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 30, verses 5 through to 9, and to Matthew as well. Stick your finger just in that little page as well, to Matthew chapter 20, 30, and Rosemary read to us this morning. Proverbs chapter 30. I'm turning myself into the Bible reading that we've got here. Firstly, we can come to God in prayer confidently. We can come to God in prayer confidently. One of the wonderful blessings of being a grandparent that Rosemary and I have found is the welcoming we receive from Evelyn and Oliver when they visit us. Their faces light up, and with no fear, they run to us with open arms. Grandma, Papa. We're no strangers, but loving parents. And we feel the same when meeting close friends, don't we? We are no strangers, but close friends. We can come to God in prayer confidently because we are safe and secure to do so. Look there at verses 5 and 6. Every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. Do not add to His words, or He will rebuke you and prove you a liar. What God has said in His word is trustworthy and enough to know. We have no need to add to it or want more. In it, He has told us we are safe, we are secure with Him. We are no stranger to Him. He shields us through life, and in Him we can find safe refuge. And how often have we actually found that to be so true with Him? The wisdom of God begins with knowing God is no stranger. Neither are we to Him as His children. We are safe and secure to come to Him confidently in prayer. Every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. Do not add to His words, or He will rebuke you and prove you a liar. Secondly, we can come to God in prayer asking. Children can say the most funniest of things at times, even when they pray. Dear God, thank you for my baby brother, but I asked for a puppy. Dear God, my mum and I pray your prayer every night. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us an email, for I have never got an email from you, God. Do you need my address? And dear God, when people die, you make other people. Could you please let them not die, but live forever? Oh. I love being able to come to God in prayer at times like a little child. Not childish, but childlike. To know that I can talk with him about all sorts of things and he listens. I'm no stranger. But he will not give me everything I want because he knows what I need is best and is happy to give that, for we matter to God. Flick there to that Matthew reading that Rosemary read to us from Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 to 34. Let me read you a small portion out to it. Listen to Jesus speaking to you. Jesus said, "Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?" Friends, we can come to God in prayer asking because he will not refuse. He knows what we need is what is best and is happy to give it. Look there at verse 7 of Proverbs. Solomon asks, two things I ask of you, Lord, do not refuse me before I die. Thirdly, when we come to God in prayer, we are to come to him humbly, for wisdom is asking for only what we need. Let me read to you verses 8 through to 9. Two things I ask of you, Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise I may have too much and disown you and say, "Who's the Lord?" Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonour the name of my God. When we come to God in prayer, we are to come to him humbly, for wisdom is asking for only what we need. Otherwise, we may have too much and disown God and say, "Who is the Lord?" Or we may become poor and steal and so dishonour the name of God. It's interesting, isn't it, if you noticed here, that when the disciples of Jesus actually saw Jesus praying and asked him to teach them how to pray, he taught them what we have today is known as the Lord's Prayer. And I think that Jesus drew on this prayer in mind as he was sharing the Lord's Prayer with them. When we come to God in prayer, we are to come to him humbly, for wisdom is asking for only what we need. Fourthly and finally, we can come to God in prayer not wanting, for God knows what we need. I'm told an experiment was once conducted with a chimpanzee. It was given its favourite food by placing that favourite food in a box with a hole just round enough for the chimp to place its hand inside to grasp at his favourite food, but not big enough for both the hand and the food to be extracted out. Well, the chimp, after it put its hand into the hole to grab the food, would not let the food go and carried the box around with it for quite some time before it actually realised it could not go about its daily life and hold onto the food with the box and eventually let it go. Jesus told a similar story, not about chimps, but about camels and people who want to get more rich than they need, buying up more than they need and rushing back before the gates could close, hoping to get in with their wealth as well. Remember the story? Jesus said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. The eye of the needle was a small gate in the wall of Jerusalem that was left open after the gates of Jerusalem were closed of a night time. Only a camel stooped without its side pouches full of goods, and its owner walking behind could fit through. If the man wanted in after the gates were closed, he had to leave his goods behind. Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and you'll despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." We come to God in prayer, the fourth one here, not wanting. It used to puzzle me as a child when I used to say the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." It's the old version, the King James version. And I used to say to my minister and youth leader, but I want the Lord as my shepherd, until I realized, someone taught me, that the word want means that I have no need to be in want. I have everything that I need if God is my shepherd, my Lord and my Saviour, my God. We can come to God in prayer, asking, but with a sense of not wanting, for knowing that God knows what we need, which helps us to then just pray for what we need other than what we want. Remember Jesus' words in Matthew's Gospel. "I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Remember, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not spin. And yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." The greatest need that we can have, and for those of you, for us who are Christians, and it's been met in Christ. We've sought his kingdom, his rule over our lives, and we've sought getting right with God, his righteousness given to us, forgiveness of sins through repentance and faith in the work of Jesus in his life and death on the cross. But there may be people here who have not, listening in, who have not yet turned to Christ and have not realized that the most greatest need that you have is not paying off your mortgage, is not seeing your kids through school. It's not about all those things you're worried about at work, or where the next meal might come. They are great needs, but the greatest need is to be right with God, to seek the kingdom, to come under God's rule, and to be right with God through Christ's righteousness alone, received by faith. Wisdom in asking is asking only for what we need. And God knows what we need, and he reveals it to us in his word. So bringing this to a close, it's so good that we can rest, find refuge in the wisdom of God, to be able to trust him at his word and live accordingly, to know we are not on some lost track that leads to nowhere, nor do we need to fear the shame of thinking we're missing out or have chosen wrongly. We know the truth. We know what's true. God keeps us mindful of what satisfies for life, of what is best for life. And isn't that so true, isn't it, for those of you listening in who know Christ? We may not have everything we want, but we certainly have everything we need. Such perfect wisdom of God gives us confidence to come to Him humbly in prayer and ask Him only what we need. We are safe and secure to do so with Him. God will not refuse. We are no stranger to Him. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, two things we ask of you. Lord, do not refuse us before we die. Keep falsehood and lies far from us. Give us neither poverty nor riches, but give us only our daily bread. Otherwise, we may have too much and disown you and say, "Who is the Lord?" Or we may become poor and steal and so dishonour the name of our God. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll join together now to state what we believe. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please join with me as we pray for many different things this afternoon, this morning. Sovereign Lord, thy will is supreme in heaven and earth, and all beings are creatures of thy power. Thou art the Father of our spirits. Thy inspiration gives us understanding. Thy providence governs our lives. But, O God, we are sinners in thy sight. You have judged us so, and if we deny it, we make thee a liar. Yet in Christ, you are reconciled to your rebellious subjects. Give us the ear of faith to hear him, the eyes of faith to see him, the hand of faith to receive him, the appetite of faith to feed upon him, that we may find in Christ light, riches, honour, eternal life. You are the inviting one. May we hearken to thee, the almighty instructor. Teach us to live to thee, the light dweller, inaccessible to man and angels, hiding thyself behind the elements of creation, but known to us in Jesus. Possess our minds with the grandeur of thy perfections and wisdom. Thy love to us in Jesus is firm and changeless. Nothing can separate us from it. And in the enjoyment of it, nothing can make us miserable. Preserve us from hypocrisy and formality in religion. Enable us to remember what thou art and what we are, to recall thy holiness and our unworthiness. Help us to approach thee, clothed with humility, for vanity, forwardness, insensibility, disorderly affection, backwardness to duty, proneness to evil are in our hearts. Let us never forget thy patience, wisdom, power, faithfulness, care, and never cease to respond to thy invitations. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We pray for our new Archbishop for Kanishka and his family. In your mercy, Lord, help him adjust to his new role. Please give him great wisdom, boldness, and courage in leading the Anglican part of your church. May he have sweet daily time with you, be filled with your Spirit. Please help him, Lord, have a good working relationship and good communication with other Christian denominations and with our government. And please give him great wisdom which battles to fight and how. And we thank you for him in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
This month we are praying for scripture teachers and Anglican chaplains. And Lord, we remember Daryl, Amy, Peter, Rachel, Trevor, and Fiona. Help them as they teach kids at Russell Lee and Abbotsford. We long that each child would clearly hear your wise words of truth. Please help them share what they hear with friends and people at home. May they choose to have Jesus as the boss of their lives always. And for chaplains, Lord, we pray for a refreshing break at the moment. We pray that when they return, they would have thought-provoking chapel services, deep relationships with other staff, and that they would continually point others to your wisdom and love. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Lord God Almighty, ruler of the nations of the earth, regard with favour our Sovereign Lady, Queen Elizabeth, that in all things she may be led by your Spirit and protected by your power. May she also be comforted by your presence in her grief with her husband dying recently. Please, Lord, give wisdom to her ministers, especially Scott Morrison, Gladys Berejiklian, and all members of Parliament and those who hold office in this land. Grant that all things may be so ordered and settled in by their endeavours on the best and surest foundations, that peace and happiness, truth and justice, faithfulness and true religion may be firmly established among us and make us a blessing to other nations through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We pray, Lord, in this season of COVID. Sovereign Lord, you know all things, and through all circumstances of life, you accompany your people. Prosper the work of those providing a vaccine and rolling out the vaccine for this virus. Protect and strengthen those who are treating the sick. Comfort the sick and those who mourn the loss of loved ones or are living in fear of this disease. We especially pray for your mercy, Lord, in Argentina, where 400 ministers have died because of COVID. Please have mercy on your church and raise up wise, godly leaders. We pray you would give the governing authorities wisdom in their management of this crisis and grant to your people patience, compliance, and peace, generous and wise hearts, and a renewed trust in your sovereign goodness and glory. Turn the hearts of many experiencing fear and anxiety to you, that they may find that peace which only you can give, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O God, creator and preserver of all mankind, we humbly pray for all sorts and conditions of men, that you would be pleased to make your ways known to them, your saving power among all nations. Especially we pray for the welfare of your universal church, that it may be guided and governed by your good spirit, so that all who profess and call themselves Christians may be led into the way of truth, hold the faith in unity of spirit, in the bond of peace, and in righteousness of life. We commend to your fatherly goodness all who are in any ways afflicted or distressed, remembering especially Lynn, Jean, Kay, Max. Lord, may it please you to comfort and relieve them according to their needs, giving them patience in their sufferings and a happy issue out of all their afflictions. All this we ask for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Would you join with me as we say the Lord's Prayer together? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Be exalted, Lord, above the heavens.
Let your glory cover the earth.
Keep our nation under your care,
and guide us in justice and truth.
Let your way be known on earth,
your saving power among all nations.
Send out your light and truth, that we may tell of your saving works. Hear our prayers, O God,
for we put our trust in you.
At this time, there aren't too many announcements, but I do invite you and implore you to keep eyes on the news and notes where anything that is happening is there. Unfortunately, of course, we cannot continue with our Bible studies on Sundays and Thursdays at the moment, but we just pray that this lockdown can end soon and then we can restore those practices again.
Diane, if I could just say something in this moment, what I'm going to encourage people to do is, if you want to Zoom with me from 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock on a Sunday night, with fellowship together and just sharing how we're going, opening the scriptures together and praying together, just let me know. Send me an email. This is Trevor here speaking now, the minister. Just send us an email, and I'll send you the link, and we can have that fellowship together.
Wonderful. So it's not all doom and gloom at the moment, is it? We can keep our hope up. I was reading out of Chronicles earlier today, and there was a verse there that jumped out, and I thought this is quite timely as well. In 1 Chronicles 16, look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. And I think whenever we're going through these difficult times, that's not a bad place to be.
Amen. Yep.
Okay, we'll just close up with a short prayer and then a grace. Eternal God and Father, by whose power we are created and by whose love we are redeemed, guide and strengthen us by your Spirit that we may give ourselves to your service and live this week in love to one another and to you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ. Amen.
Wisdom of our God revealed in all the universe, all things created by his hand and held together at his command. He knows the mysteries of the seas, the secrets of the stars are his. He guides the planets on their way and turns the earth through another day. The matchless wisdom of his ways that mark the path of righteousness, his word a lamp unto my feet, his Spirit teaching and guiding me. And oh, the mystery of the cross, that God should suffer for the lost, so that the fool might shame the wise, and all the glory might go to Christ.